You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to the Fourth Line Podcast in partnership with Last Word on Sports. This is April the 21st, 2017, and with you today is myself, Carl, and the always wonderful Joel. Joel, we are fresh off the end of Caps Leafs, game number 5. Leafs lost, but you seem to be doing okay.
I'm doing okay. I'm bummed. That was a stressful game. I'm amazed it went to overtime. The Leafs played terrible. Like, it was the last 30 minutes of that game, all Caps all day. Like, it was just
Caps all day.
So I am content to, if the Leafs lose, like, well, if the Leafs, the Leafs will lose this series at this point now. Winning two in a row, game 7 in Washington, that's going to be nearly impossible.
Which, just for the record, you have won a game in Washington and a game in Toronto consecutively already this series.
It's true, but you're down. The Capitals, they have progressively gotten better in this series. Agree?
That is true. The Capitals team that you played games, what, 2 and 3? Those are the ones you won.
Yeah, so, but I would... I'm very happy to point out to pretty much every hockey fan other than Maple Leafs fans, you can go fly a kite because your Caps sweeping or winning in 5, Leafs won't be able to hang with the Caps. I would like to disagree on that. Leafs a lot better than what people gave them credit for.
Oh, certainly. And I know you've said privately that it makes you sad to watch the Ottawa-Boston series.
Oh,
it's just a picture of what depressing. Could have been.
Because they would have cleaned up whoever they played there, and then they would have cleaned up whoever they played in the next series. They would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. No question.
Against Montreal and New York,
those teams,
I don't think that series would have gone in his favor.
Then the Capitals aren't as good as they appear. Because... Sure. Because the Capitals cleaned up that Metro division, and now they're struggling to close off the series against the Leafs.
Yeah, Caps bad in the playoffs. Everyone has known that for years.
Yeah, So I'm content. I picked the Leafs to win the series, like in the bracket, because. Come on, I have to. Like,
right.
Realistically, I was going to be very content if the Leafs lost in 6 or 7, and that's what I'm going to get. So I'm not going to be sad about that. Doesn't mean I'm
You're not cheering for the Caps.
No, and I was extremely angry when they lost this evening.
Right.
But I'm playoff hockey, best series of the first round.
It's been a ton of fun.
There's no question.
5 games, 4 of them gone overtime.
Yeah, and it's just all one goal games.
Yeah.
It's been a ton
of fun to watch.
It's crazy. And to make it all better, so much better, like we even had like the Paul Pierce moment. The wheelchair just busts. We have like fakes the injury, comes back into play. Beauty.
Do you really want to touch on that moment?
I do. I'm sure you don't.
So if you missed the game, what Joel is referencing to is Nazem Kadri, low hit.
I can't agree on that. That was a fine hit. There's no, it shouldn't even been a penalty.
Okay. If you're not, I didn't say nowhere in that statement. Did I say it was an illegal hit? I said it was low.
It wasn't low though. Cause low is illegal.
Okay, how low do you say is low then? If we're going this route,
knees.
It was below his hip.
No, it was like thigh hip area. Low as knees. Okay. That's what
if
I consider low.
If you're going to deny the actual facts of what happened, then we're done. I'm not even going to bother talking about it.
Did he hit his knees?
Yes.
No, it was above his knees. For sure above his knees.
I will find you a screen capture of and show you that
I've
he
seen
hit his
all
knees.
Of that.
Yeah, so you're flat out denying the reality. So we're done. No. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
No.
Okay, fine. I will.
If you're not going to actually admit that he hit his knees, then there's no point in talking about it.
Okay, for the sake of, we got to talk about this. You can't just ignore this. And okay, here's the question: was Ovi hurt? I say no.
I say yes.
Well, he came back on and double shifted the second period.
I think that in a tie game, a tie series, and a tie game at that point, Ovi's not going to leave the game just for poops and giggles.
Oh, he was angling for the major. 100% that's what he was doing.
Well, you do not have to leave the game to angle for the major.
Yeah, you do. You got it. It's a guaranteed major because like that. What you're saying, had been a hit to the knees, it's clipping.
Right, which wasn't called that.
He got a tripping penalty. Right. So the refs said not a clip, but Ovi probably trying to angle for the clip. Everyone knows that if you get injured on a clipping penalty, automatic major game misconduct. Yeah. So if Ovi stays on the ice after the hit, Kadri is out of the game.
Right.
If it's a clip. It
does not make sense to, when it's then called a trip, if you're trying to angle for it, there's nothing left to angle for. Just stay in the game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to fake injury. Like if he lies on the ice for that long and then they give him a 5-minute major and then like he can't just come back in the game. Like I'm pretty sure you can get fined or something like that for faking an injury.
I don't know.
So he's got to make it look good. So he knew that he was going to be out for a little bit of time.
I think the intermission was
coming up.
This is a different topic, but I think the while it is the literal rule that clipping, an injury in clipping is a 5-minute major, that's such a hard thing to actually, and this is the exact example. Like that's such a difficult thing to evaluate. What constitutes an injury? How long do you have to be hurt? Do you have to be hurt? Like, yes, no matter what hit you have, if you get clipped, it's going to hurt. But
yeah, I think injury, so not hurt.
Right.
Like,
at that point, again, what constitutes an injury? Do you have to be gone for the game? You can't decide that at the time. So that's a tough one.
Yeah, but it was
nonetheless. You think he faked it?
I totally think. Do I think it didn't hurt him? No, but it wasn't. There's no way it was as bad as he made it seem.
I could buy that a bit. There's a lot of
hit hurts.
Pardon?
Every NHL hit hurts.
Yes.
So yeah. Did it hurt him? And but the thing is, he double shifted the second period.
Yeah,
that whole second period, he's playing on the Backstrom line, and then he was also playing on the Lars Eller line for pretty much the entire period. So how hurt was he?
That was the third, right? That he was doing that?
No, that was the second period.
Oh, I thought that was in the third when they benched Tommy Wilson there.
Maybe not the first, basically second half of the second period, he double shifted that. So it's like, come on. Like how hurt can you have been if you're all it's like, he's toughing it out, he's playing his shifts. No, he's toughing it out, he's double shifting. I thought it was a little dramatic.
Ovi has a flair for the dramatic.
That's
a fact.
And did you notice first shift on the ice, he's just started running everybody. So
he was fired up that second period. He was definitely not taking it easy on folks. And
so
if you listen to, I don't know if you saw, you probably weren't in the intermission between, the third period and geez Louise, I'm sorry, I've got the Bruins game on and they just ran Craig Anderson
and have now claimed that that's a good goal. So, anyways, I'm a little distracted. The refs are now deciding everything.
There you go.
Nonetheless, screw the Bruins. That's how you're going to try to win the game. When you and the puck end up in the net, that's not a good goal.
Probably not.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Ovi. Mr. Don Cherry was going on about how you used to be able to hit and you used to be able to hook and you used to be able to slash and et cetera, et cetera. What a guy.
I don't know.
But
so can we do a public service announcement for the Penguins?
Please do.
Don't hit Ovi above the knees.
Oh.
You'll get in trouble. Or it'll get mad at you.
You mean below the knees?
No, I'm saying above.
Okay.
Don't hit him above the knees.
Okay. Also, on replay, that Krashen and Craig Anderson looks a lot better than it actually was. He just hit his legs. He didn't actually, like, hit him.
So not pulling a TJ Oshie.
He did not make contact with the head of the goaltender, no. He did not pull a Brian Boyle.
What did Brian Boyle do?
James Reimer?
Oh, yeah. James Reimer wasn't even in the crease. Come on now. whatever. So you took great offense. I think our listeners would love to be in our chat. Like, so me and Carl have a WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Chat pretty much every game, especially because we both have watched both all these games, and our chats get a little dicey at times.
Yeah, we would have had to break out the old sensor stick a little bit there a few times.
Yeah.
It was what didn't help is I had other people egging me on as well. So it was not a good time for me. But
yeah, but you took great offense. I think the most fired up at me that you got fired up about the Ovi thing, but it wasn't directed to me. It was directed at, I forget who hit him, but it was...
Shut up. Nazem Kadri. It was him.
But it was when I made some comment, because like Oshie's been running Anderson all series, and like the Leafs have not run Holtby at all.
Yeah.
And so I made a suggestion to the Leafs that they should run Holtby, and that Carl reacted strongly against that. So that was my favorite moment of the evening.
Yeah. I'm glad.
So, but it has been an incredibly stressful series. So I am happy with the result either way at this point. I would have been in a much different mood if the Leafs had been swept.
Yes.
But they're putting up a fight. This is theoretically the best team in the league, at least in the regular season. Like, they're doing what the best they can, and it's going to be a good team in the long run. That's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, oh, certainly. You do get excited about that. Other series going on, three series as of right now, depending on what happens. They're still reviewing this goal in Ottawa, Boston, so we'll see what happens there.
So that series could be over.
That series, no, could, well,
it's a
Boston goal. So, 5 minutes left in OT. See what happens there. But, so Boston could be done tonight as well. Pittsburgh eliminated the Jackets. Pittsburgh's good. And the Jackets needed Bobrovsky to be phenomenal to win the series, and he was mediocre at best.
Yeah, he was. Can I just say one last thing about the Leafs-Cap series?
Yeah, sure.
My son, he was wearing a Kadri jersey tonight.
Why do you gotta make me hate your son so early in his life? Like, I like the kid. He's nice. He's good.
I just thought that was hilarious. I thought it was very timely.
Did you, were you walking down the hall, accidentally bump into him and he threw himself to the ground and started crying?
No, he took a stick to the back of the knee and then.
I wasn't making reference to that one. Just in general, Kadri's tendency to dive.
No. I'm surprised you didn't even talk about that throughout the whole Kadri thing. Were you just like, you're just so locked in on Ovi.
No, that was just the one that we were talking about. Like, there was multiple things that got me fired up. Certainly, the Niskanen slash on Ovi, the more different angles on Kadri, Niskanen slashing Ovi would be much different.
Very different.
That is a different bird. Once they started showing more angles, I settled down a little bit. I was like, he did slash him. When it looked like just Ovi hit him, not so much. Anyways.
Well, I think everyone saw
the first angle and said, what's even Ovi thought he was getting the penalty. So,
yeah, well, and there he was. I was actually amazed the refs saw it because you wouldn't have, like, it was just kind of like behind the scenes, but you were fired up. Like, I'm pretty sure on a scale of 1 to Brad Marchand, how dirty are the Leafs to you? Like, because
the Leafs are not. I definitely said to someone on Twitter that Nazem Kadri is a worse version of Brad Marchand.
Oh.
Like, not dirty wise. He just, like, he scores less than Brad Marchand.
Scores
like
less.
A poor man's Brad Marchand. He's less dirty and less good of a scorer. On a scale of 1 to Brad Marchand, I'd say a 7 of Kadri. The Leafs in general.
Of Kadri,
Yeah, the Leafs in general, I don't think are dirty.
Because you were fired up at Uncle Leo for a bit.
That was just when he, like, his visor hit him in the face and he started bleeding and acted like he got high-sticked.
Well, and to be, like, this was my argument for this one. He probably felt like he got high-sticked.
Oh,
like,
in the moment, certainly, I could see, like, that you could think that.
So, he's not watching replays, so he's like, hey, I got slammed in the nose with something while I was getting hit, and now I'm bleeding. Probably was a stick.
Yeah.
So, like, I could see that, like, because that was the other thing. Lots of people came out saying, like, another diver, another whiner. I was like, I'm pretty sure Leo is, like, total pest, total annoying, but I don't ever think I've seen him, like, dive. Like, I don't think that's a... He doesn't have that reputation.
Yeah, I'm not aware of him diving ever.
Yeah, so, but it was dicey. Anyways, that was back to whatever series we were talking about.
Pittsburgh.
Is there... Okay, here's the question. So, let's assume the Caps win.
Okay, let's do it. Caps-Pens, rematch Caps, last year.
Caps-Pens, do you want to be the Pens who had the easy first round, not a tough team at all, rolled through it, have however many days, they're going to have almost a week break
or
more
like
before they start?
Yeah.
Do you want that, or do you want to be the Caps who had tough first round, lots of close games, very physical, but yet you've played a much better team. So, because we don't really, the Penguins didn't get tested. Capitals are getting tested. Unless you're willing to say that both the Leafs and the Caps are really bad, and so Pens are just going to walk all over them.
I don't think that's the case at all.
I think the Leafs are playing up to the Caps instead of the Caps playing down to the Leafs. That's my take. But, would you rather be a Capitals team that's played 6 or 7 tough physical games, long games, lots of overtime?
I'd rather be the Caps, for sure. I think that the only reason that the Pens is fine is that they could get Matt Murray healthy.
That's a big one.
That's the biggest thing that they have for this time off. But if they're playing, like, let's say series against the Jackets goes 7, and they go with Fleury the whole time, they still have that same amount of time for Murray to get healthy. Honestly, that's my question. Is if Matt Murray is healthy, who do you go to in net?
Because
Marc-Andre Fleury was pretty dang good in that series.
I don't know. It's the, like, that's the thing, though. Like, how good are the Jackets? Like, some good saves, sure. Like, but, like, I don't know. Like, quality of shots. Like, what kind of...
Right.
Like, that's the... Like, what kind of quality is coming there? Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's going to be another good series. I think the Caps are better suited to beat the Penguins this year
than last year.
Yeah. I think you're, like, they're playing So, like, the Penguins did not play a team like the Caps. The Caps are playing like a poor man's Penguins right now. Lots of speed.
Yeah.
Lots of skill players. Like, obviously not as skilled and not as deep. But they've got, and the defense is not as good. But, like, they, Toronto plays a very similar style to the Pens.
Yeah.
So, Caps are playing, like, so they're showing that they can handle a speed team. And they can play that game. So, because there has been, like, that series is, so, like, it's so wide open. So, I think that the Caps can actually hang with the Penguins. I still don't think they'll win, though. But it'll be, I think they're more suited this year than last year.
No, I'm with you. Looking at the, I pulled up some of the numbers. You asked, how much was Marc-Andre Fleury tested? So, if you look at, the way that they look at goalies for difficulty of shot is just distance from the net. So there's long distance, medium, and I guess difficulty is the way they're ranged. But anyways, he faced the most low danger shots so far, and he let in one of those goals. And this is one thing that I like to look at, because to me, like, the low danger, those are the ones that you should be stopping, right? Like, the lowest, and this is going to talk to why the Flames are out, Brian Elliott had a 86 save percentage on these low-risk shots. The next lowest is Tuukka Rask at 96. So you should be in that 96% range to be like a mid-tier goaltender on these shots, right?
Yeah.
So that's the case on that. Marc-Andre Fleury also faced 33 high-risk shots. And that's, you know, right in the net. And I think that's where you look at, that's where a goalie will make an impressive save and look really good, right?
Yeah.
Those really up close ones. So we've seen Henrik Lundqvist. He has faced the most, and he's only given up 4 goals. He has currently the 5th highest save percentage of those shots. 4 goaltenders have only given up 1 high-risk shot, and that's Devin Dubnyk, Pekka Rinne, Jake Allen, John Gibson. You may notice 2 of those goalies already in the second round.
Yeah.
And one of those is going to be there soon.
So it's like,
anyways, Marc-Andre Fleury has the, on those high risk shots, Corey Crawford, Sergei Bobrovsky, Braden Holtby, and then Marc-Andre Fleury.
So he's been the best. So
4th worst.
4th worst. So yeah. So I don't know. I don't think I'll be interested. Like, that's the series. That's probably going to be the series of the second round.
Oh, for sure.
There's some bad series in this first round, like really awful ones.
So anyways, like, yes or no, Fleury or Murray?
I still think you go Murray. Murray's a better goalie.
I think you go Fleury, because, you know, I think he's got, like, not a Brian Elliott in an elimination game size leash, which was 3 shots, 1 goal, but pretty short.
I don't know. I think
if you lose a game by 2 goals, you're with Murray the next game.
You can't afford to lose a game. Like, you can't afford to lose a game because you had a bad goalie in net. That's just. I don't think
you,
like.
But can you, like, the, on the flip side, I look at it as you can't afford to lose a game because Matt Murray's not 100%.
Well, I think if Matt Murray's 100%, you play Matt Murray. If he's not 100%, you play Fleury. Or as 100% as you can be. Like, cause no one, like, there's the lovely playoff line. No one's 100% at this time of year.
Right.
So whatever the best Murray can be, as long as, like, if Fleury and Murray are both 90%, you play Murray. If he's not, if he's still injured and you're just like, well, he can play, but he's not, like, you'd rather the healthy goalie. So I don't know. If Fleury's playing that series, I don't like the Pens' chances. That's how big of a swing it is.
I think that's
the tiebreaker.
I definitely think that could be a swing in this series. Goaltending for the Pens is going to be the biggest question mark going into that, and as well as, I guess, the yearly question of how good the Caps are.
Yeah. Like, so to go to this, though, like, are you okay? So Ottawa, Boston, St. Louis, Minnesota. Terrible series.
Like Boston's been pretty good.
Have you? Like I've watched. I have. Like I guess I haven't watched a ton of it, but like
right because they're always on at the same time as the Leafs games.
Yeah, they're always on the same time. But I've watched a lot of the replays. And I'm just like, there's nothing exciting about this. Maybe it's just because they're two teams that are just boring to watch.
Yes. They're close games, which is good. They're certainly not as nearly as entertaining as and high flying as a Wings or as a Caps Leaf series.
Yeah, but have you watched any of the St. Louis miniseries?
I watched game 4. I was like, oh, I should at least watch Minnesota once before they get eliminated, and they won. So I'm no longer watching that so that they can go ahead and lose.
Well, they're the early game tomorrow, though. They're like the 12 o'clock start.
Ooh, well, I guess I'll watch that one then.
So, and then you've got...
That's 12 o'clock Pacific for those who are Joel time.
Yeah,
3 o'clock Eastern.
Everything revolves around me, so...
trust me, our scheduling of the podcast no longer says, oh yeah, I'm ready at 7 o'clock Pacific, it just says 7 o'clock. I've learned which time Mountain doesn't even exist to you.
What is Mountain Time? Is that like do you guys acknowledge daylight savings over there over top of them mountains?
For now, yeah.
Okay. Did you see like there's such a weird start time? These are the start times tomorrow. 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7:30. Like they're not normal times. Normally it should be like, well, I don't even know why there's an afternoon game. That's crazy. And then it should be like 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock. What's with all these weird start times in the playoffs, NHL? Yeah.
Well, and even they've been starting them like 8:30, aka 10:30 Eastern, for a game in Alberta. Like even those games are being pushed back. And I think part of the goal is to get the games finished before the next one starts, so you don't have this overlap. I think that's the goal behind this, right?
But then game 6, so like Montreal, New York are playing. They start in New York, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that one should probably start at like 7, like they usually do.
Why is it not starting at 7? That makes no sense. It's going to overlap with the late game, which is starting late to begin. This is just,
yeah.
What are you doing, Batman?
Nobody knows. Well, we've got two afternoon games this weekend, a potential game 6 with Ottawa, Boston Sunday afternoon, and then Game 5 tomorrow, St. Louis, Minnesota, which this game's going to second overtime, Joel.
Is it? Well, yeah,
there is quite the review controversies. Back-to-back goals of Boston that arguably could have, should have been goals, not.
So now it's going to go to Ottawa's going to win now. That's how right, those that, things
that's
usually
what that
work,
means.
Right?
The more chances you have and the longer overtime goes, the less likely you win.
So, well, you
other
know what's
series?
Been?
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Go ahead. No.
No, I was gonna say. I was like. I think the second most exciting series has got to be Sharks Oilers.
Sharks Oilers has been a ton of fun,
except for the touchdown.
That game I turned off. And I think we can all a very brief discussion. Dreisaitl should have got more than a $2,000 suspension or fine. probably a little more than that, but hey. It's the NHL Department of Player Safety, and it's the playoffs where like nothing gets penalized. So probably a game at least.
Isn't it so bizarre that they're like, and I know everyone says this. This is but like I don't get through this. They're like, well, we don't want the refs to decide the game, but they kind of are when they're not calling how they've been calling all year long, right? Like
yeah.
So like. We get used to playing a style of game, and then it's like, well, playoffs, anything goes, because we don't want the rest of the side. It's like, well, when you don't call that guy getting tripped or that guy getting sticked in the face, that's kind of making the decision. Yeah. I don't know.
It needs to be consistent throughout the entire series and at a minimum throughout an entire game. Because if you're going to call something, and I get it, you especially don't want – a small play being called as a penalty in overtime. But
yeah.
Like you have to call it the same at the start of the, or at least tell them, maybe they're like, hey, you know what? This isn't going to be a penalty. The refs, you know, stopped by the benches before, but the play, yeah, right. The player, right, exactly. The players have to know. And it just call it consistently throughout the entire game. I'm fine if you stop calling things as long as players have an expectation of what is going to be called and what is not.
And then, but the, like, so you have these things where like you'll see guys get hooked or tripped and they don't get called. And they're like, yeah, in the regular season, that's probably a penalty. But then they have to call high sticks and they have to call delay of games. And it's like, well, we can't just like, it's, he shot the puck out of the zone. He didn't really mean to do it, but so we probably shouldn't. It's like, you can't do that. It's so black and white.
Right. Same, like too many men's going to be called every single time.
Yeah. I get, well, maybe. It's, there's right, some I guess gray there
was
area.
There was a point in the Rangers Habs series that they showed both teams having six players in the play. That's so at least it's fair. Everyone has an extra guy. That's yeah. allowed.
But, there's been this, the Sharks Oilers been really like fun games to watch. Like Rangers Montreal been close. Like I like that there are some good series because sometimes you get some real duds in the first round. Like sometimes you just get a lot of like Pens Jackets. Blackhawks, Preds. And it's just these are all terrible games.
Let's talk about the Blackhawks.
Oh,
are they terrible?
Are they in trouble? I don't know. I'm worried.
Here's I'm not worried because... Because
you're not a fan of them?
Right.
That's why I'm not worried.
I'm not a fan. But also, like, how many four-game stretches... Where like a team looks bad for four games. The Caps have looked bad for four game stretches. The Pens have looked bad for four game stretches. Your Leafs have looked bad for four game stretches. Four games at a time. And I know I have had people, well, even Alex wrote an article on Pekka Rene's performance for the website. It went up there tonight. And he quoted me. I was quoted on Twitter. Don't recall my exact line, but it was something like, Pekka Rene is not a good goalie. And the Blackhawks have a lot of scoring depth. They can come back.
And then they did not come back.
And then that didn't happen.
Pekka Rene, not a good goalie.
Still not a good goalie. He still plays behind a fantastic defense.
Yeah. Who are they going to draw in the second round? I haven't been looking at the bracket.
The St. Louis, Minnesota winner.
Oh, Preds. Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. Welcome.
Interesting. So then they're going to get
like Preds or Ducks and then San Jose Edmonton, whichever of those.
You know what? We're going to get a fun team out of the West.
It's going to be a weird one. That's for sure. Sharks again.
I'm okay with that because like basically it's like, well, it's not the Kings or the Blackhawks, so we're happy. Like right. that's literally the definition of a fun team in the West right now. It's like, well, yeah. we didn't get the Hawks or the Kings.
Yeah.
And so. And you're going to get, unless you get the Pens, so you can still high chance that you're going to get the Pens out of the East, but could be Ottawa will not make it.
I was like, why are you mentioning Ottawa in this?
I'm just looking at the bracket. I'm like, there's some, that'll like, be such it, a weird.
It could weird. Be like literally, I would not be surprised if the Habs, the Rangers, Pens, or Caps made the cup final out of the East.
Yeah. I would be thrilled if the Leafs beat the Caps. I'm not sure how much of that Penn series I'd be able to watch.
don't think that'll go well.
I don't think it'll go well at all, but
I don't think the Blackhawks are terrible, but I do think that there will be certainly the fans. Some of the fans, especially non-Blackhawks fans, a little overreacty to them losing out in four. No one wants to get swept ever, right? No one plans to get swept, but again, a four-game stretch. And honestly, they're not the team that they used to be. We've seen them have to purge guy after guy trying to do this. The Brent Seabrook signing, you know, I think I might have been more, I believe if I recall correctly, I was more in favor of it than you. Is that the way that went?
Probably
or was I against I'm it.
I don't know. I thought we were both against it.
I think so. I want to say in hindsight that I was against it, because that's a terrible signing. You use that Brent Seabrook money on something else, like a Brandon Saad, perhaps, and you don't have to worry about these things. So, these are the kinds of things that I look at and I say the Hawks are struggling. They have peaked. Like, they are going downhill from here. The Hawks aren't going to keep getting better. So certainly the end is near for this Hawks team, and this is how it starts. You lose out to the Preds in four games.
Yeah, it'll be, I'm worried that they'll make like kind of a, like quick reaction, bad decision. Like, are they hoping that they can somehow convince, like, I don't know what Brent Seabrook, does he have a no movement clause? Like, are they hoping they can expose him and just like pray that the Knights take him?
That'd be, yeah, something like that would certainly help. I'm fairly certain he has a no movement, but we can check the old internets.
I'll check.
Cap but, friendly.
What if like, what if the Blackhawks went to the Knights and said, hey, we'll send you, like, basically do, like,
he has
like
a
no movement,
but no trade.
What is that? So that means he can't get sent down?
Yeah.
So you...
So, like, he can't, like, waivers. He can't be put on waivers. He can't be...
Without his acceptance. So, because, like...
Yeah, if he wants
the guy,
to go to Vegas, you say, hey, sure.
Like, you go to the Knights and say, hey, we'll send you a second round draft pick for like some AHLer after the expansion draft if you take Brent Seabrook.
Right. And like, or, and that this won't happen, but if there's a way that they can move that HOSA contract to the Knights in the same way, like, hey, we'll give you something. But then, like, that's what the Hawks had to do last year. And that's not a way to fix this problem.
Isn't HOSA just going to retire?
Well, that also doesn't fix their problem then.
Yeah, what they...
if he retires early, they get like the giant Luongo-sized recapture penalty, right?
No, that recapture penalty is disappearing next CBA.
Well, right, but he's going to... So, Marian Hossa is 38 years old. He's not playing till... Because this contract only has 1 year after that CBA.
Okay, but like what I think what's going to happen is one of these guys with these massive contracts are going to retire, and then the NHL is going to have to fix it. Like, they just, the reason why they haven't fixed it is because none of these guys are retired.
Right. It hasn't become a problem. And I certainly can see that. However, we work in a reality where it's still a rule. So
they have, okay. I am worried about the Blackhawks. So, Kane, Taves, both 28.
Yeah.
21 million. Hossa, 38, 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Anisimov, 28, let's say 5 million, because like Anisimov and Hossa make 10.
Right. Yeah, you round that up, that's 10.
So that's 31 plus another 12 for Seabrook and Keith. So six guys, math it up there. What's that? 43, 45 million for six guys.
Yeah. 43.
Let's add your, so 50 million if you include Crawford, give or take.
Yeah. Well, then Panera next year, 6 million.
Oh yeah. But you're happy about that. 25 year old scores lots of goals. Yeah. 6 million.
There are certainly things to be happy about on this. If you get rid of every bad contract on this team, sure, they've got a lot going for them still, but they've got some terrible deals.
This is probably going to make people very upset, but like looking at the Caps roster makes me appreciate Sidney Crosby even more.
His $8.7 million contract.
Well, that and the fact that he's still good. Like, when was the last time someone was like, man, look at Jonathan Toews. That guy's amazing still.
Some people still think that.
It's not true, though.
I know, but some people still think that. Some people still get very excited about old Johnny Toews.
You're just like, Crosby, they're basically the same age, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it's interesting to watch and, like, I know that you have guys that
Crosby's
play.
2 years older. He's in 87.
Hence is he okay?
The number and hence the contract.
Right. Okay, so he's 2 years old. But, like, these guys are... Taves feels like he's been around for forever. Feels like he should be, like, closer to 35, but he's still in his 20s. And, like, guys don't play... Like, Hossa is incredible, the fact that he stayed this relevant for this long. Yeah. Like, it's just... It's amazing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like, I don't... It just makes you appreciate some of those guys that just, like, withstand time a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if, like, McDavid, Laine, Matthews, like, the new up-and-comers who are supposed to be taking over for these older guys, like, are they going to be the guys that can transcend that good until they're 27? Can they be good until they're 35? Like, what Crosby's probably going to be.
Yeah, well, let's talk about one of those up-and-comers. But first, Joel, I want to talk about something very exciting that we... put out this week. If you are an avid listener of podcasts, you have probably heard of Patreon. If you have not, this is your first time. Welcome. Patreon is a subscription-like service that you can do to support shows that you love. So if you already support a show, we thank you on behalf of them. If you don't, you can head over to patreon.com/fourthlinepodcast. I'm going to make sure that's the right page. And yes, it is. Patreon.com/fourthlinepodcast. And there we've got some extra bonus content for you. So for $1 a month, you can support us and we'll thank you. People like Peter, who has supported us. Graham from the Purple Army podcast. He supports us. Thank you for him. And Fred from the Sloopa show. These are people who have already supported us and we thank them very much. And you can join them. In doing that, we also are putting out for folks that sign up at a higher amount. We've got some perks. So at the $3 a month amount, we're putting out a monthly barbecue meat cooking article. So if you want to learn what we're doing, you can do that. At $4 a month, there is a bonus episode that we're going to be releasing every month to our Patreon-only subscribers as well. You can submit some topics he wants to talk about. If you want to know, you know what? I want to know what these guys think about that. Patreon, that episode will be tailored to what you guys are wanting to know about. So head on over there. We thank everyone very much for supporting us already and into the future. As it continues to grow, who knows how it will change. It certainly will as we continue to add different things, different features. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, we've been trying to grow the show more and more. I don't even know how long have I been on the show?
It's coming up on, it'll be 2 years.
2 years soon, right?
Yeah, the end of the finals. That was, you started the week after the finals 2 years ago.
That's also when I started watching hockey. And so I have been, it's not true. That was a joke. It's just a little bit of a joke, some humor there. But we're trying to grow show.
What is coming up is the 1 year anniversary of the website. That'll be sometime this summer.
There you go.
And so, you know, things like the website, things like Patreon are just ways that we're working to grow the show to get you more of the things that you enjoy. You listen to the show, we try to get you some articles on the website free of charge. And just some things. If you want to support us, we greatly appreciate it. Helps us to continue to push what we're doing and create content. These things don't happen for free.
It's true. And that's part, like, that's the, cause like, as we've continued to grow, it costs us a bit to make this thing happen. And so we're trying to put some of that. And we also want to spend some time seeing how we can continue to grow. So that's what we're looking to do. And we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to like talking more wrestling. I think that should be a bonus episode sometime. Cause everyone wants
all wrestling all the time.
Yeah. All right. Like why not? Right. We should do. Cause I haven't actually done this in a long time. I think we should do this summer. This is brilliant. When we were like middle of July, nothing to do. We should record an episode while we both watch Monday Night Raw.
I have not watched Raw in about a decade.
I know. You know how amazing that would be?
That would be good. We'll put that up on the Patreon page. For $1 a month, you can get our Monday Night Raw episode, an extra bonus episode.
That'll be hilarious because, like, I don't even know what happens at those things anymore. It's going to be so crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited already.
This is the kind of stuff that our listeners, you guys, when you give us the drive to think of those great moments of how we can.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, Joel, this week.
And and the website's not about tequila, just in case you're wondering.
Yes, Joel, every time I say Patreon, Joel, here's Patron.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's like, whoa, tequila time. Apparently not.
No. Not at 2 in the afternoon on a Thursday.
I would like to go into something, though, that I think is close to all of our hearts and all of our emotions.
Okay.
We're going to go NHL lottery simulator.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we're going straight into that.
All right. Do I need to have the beep button ready? The old edit button? I'll try. Now, I did get a little fired up during the game. I tried to calm myself down. I went and I had a coffee before we recorded.
Okay.
So no promises, but I'll try to control myself.
Okay. Your winner. The 2017 NHL lottery. Number one pick overall. Goes to your Seattle Coyotes.
All right. Now I'm not upset about that.
They've got
pretty good odds.
I guess. What are their odds?
They're, what, fourth best?
Okay. There you go. Second. The Buffalo Eichels.
Oh, jeez. We'll get into that in a second. I don't like Jack Eichel.
Third overall. Pushing the Colorado Avalanche to fourth overall. I'm not even making this up. You're Detroit Red Wings.
It's almost, look, if we can get all of the Detroit Red Wings winning of this lottery out of the way right now, it's a win for all of us.
Well, I'm just taking a screenshot so that everyone knows that I am above reproach on here, and I will post that.
One thing that I enjoyed, there's one of the sites, I forget, some Twitter account out there. They are running it daily and posting their results. And so there was one this week. The Avs won it. I was happy. And the Islanders won the second pick. So I sent it over, tagged our buddy Matt from the Reasons Are Several podcast. Great show. And he thought that it was the actual draft lottery. He got quite excited about that. I had to break it to him. That was just a practice run.
So, well, I sent that out just posted that just now so that you can, I don't know what you're doing in the picture because you're in the picture, but
all right,
you can go check that out. But I think you'll be pretty sad though if you fall to four. Hey,
yeah, I've actually kind of, because I was doing some research this week on who I would want to win or who I would want if we finished first in the draft lotto. And I don't think I want the Nolan Patrick, who's been the favorite throughout this whole thing. I'm definitely in the Nico Hirschler, I believe is how you say his name. He's Swiss, but playing for the Mooseheads right now.
What is he, D-man center?
He is a forward.
Okay, there you go.
See, but here's the thing. It's not Hirschler. It's like Hischier, I think. Anyways,
if
we finish fourth, that's when we pick a defenseman. So that's my silver lining. Like if we pick number four, we draft D. And because it kind of like the top guys are forwards. And so that's my silver line. That's why I'm not super depressed at finishing fourth.
It's not a great draft.
No, it's also not that. Like it's like when the Raptors won and ended up with what's his face, who's not with the team anymore.
Andrea Bargnani or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. This is the Andrea Bargnani draft.
This is the thing. The top three guys of last year's draft would probably would be better than any of the top guys again this year. Yeah. Like So, well, not top three.
I was going to say
the Jackets messed that up.
Right. The best three players from last year's draft would be better than the best three players from this year's.
Yeah. Could you imagine if the Jackets had a little bit of speed on the wing against the Pens?
If only.
That's hilarious.
All right. Jack Eichel. Got his coach and GM fired. Do you think so? He said, no, I didn't say those things. Do you think he said them?
Yeah, absolutely he did. That guy thinks he's LeBron.
We saw his reaction in the press conference, and he said, well, I didn't hide my emotions well. Well, you also didn't hide your emotions well in that X interview either there, Jack. You said the exact same things. Yeah, he said those things, and for some reason, the owner, Terry Pegula, decided that a 20-year-old player who isn't even the best player in his draft class is worthy of dictating the future of this team.
This guy thinks he's Connor McDavid. He's not Connor McDavid.
Like, quite literally, there's probably only, like, how many players in the league would you say deserve the right to have a say on things like that? I'd say Crosby.
Yeah. Yager.
No.
Not now, but like Yager when he was in his prime.
Yeah, Yager in his prime.
That guy was fantastic. I loved Yager.
Like currently in the league.
Yeah, Carey Price.
Carey Price, yeah. I could say that.
But like, yeah, so.
Right now, John Tavares, they'll do whatever he says to keep him there.
Yeah, but that's because they also don't have a great coach. Like, because that's the other thing. So you have Mike Babcock. Can Crosby get Babcock fired? Probably. Like, it probably, but I'm not convinced.
Right. Like, if you have the best coach in the league.
Yeah. So, like, that's the trigger. Like, this would be.
Like, I don't think Crosby could get Babcock fired.
The other thing is, and like, it's hard to think about that because neither guy would present a scenario where that might be a possibility.
Because they're quality teammates.
Because if, like, Crosby would probably love to have Mike Babcock, where I'm not sure who's out there going, like, yeah, Dan Bylsma, or how do you say the guy's name?
Yeah, is that his? Like, you nailed it.
Like, okay, like, I'm not, like, nothing, I don't want to. Like, not nothing against the guy, but he's not one of those guys. He's not Barry Trotz. He's not.
He won a Babcock. Cup because he had Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, like, and Malkin and list of whoever played.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's probably. I don't think he. Like, I wouldn't do this, but Taves could probably get a coach fired.
Interesting. So if Taves. Offseason right now, Taves goes and he says, you know what, Quenville's not cutting it anymore, gotta go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The only thing, contract also plays in, like.
Right. I guess that when you have $10.5 million invested into a guy for the next 17 years.
Well, yeah, but I'm also thinking, like, Quenville's getting $5 million a year or something like that. They can't just, like. Right. Like,
I guess, yeah, because
there's something
Terry
there,
Pegula
too.
Has shown he's willing to just spend whatever money it takes to bring a championship to Buffalo. He's doing it with the Sabres, doing it with the Bills. He had a quick trigger with old Rex Ryan there.
Yeah,
And that's the angle where I say I think Pegula just has a quick trigger finger in this because we saw with the Bills. Those guys are gone quickly.
No, regardless, the fact that this has come out in some regard and most people can buy it, because, like, Jack Eichel has not been shy about saying things in his short career. Maybe you should be a bit of a better player before you start doing this. Like you just. He's nothing. He hasn't led his team to the playoffs. He's scored 24 goals. That's the most goals he's ever scored in a season. Like, it's good. It's not great, though. It's not good enough to call people out.
If I had a 20-year-old player on my team scoring 24 goals with 33 assists, like, yeah, that's decent. You were also, like, you were hurt for a chunk. Like, whatever. That's fine. You're good. But you're not great. Like, no. You didn't put up 100 points like the guy drafted one spot above you.
Yeah, like that's, yeah, Connor McDavid probably can get a guy fired if he really wanted to.
If Connor McDavid went and said, you know what, Chris Russell, don't like the guy, don't want him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this is, I know people will argue character doesn't play into skill and competency, but I totally think it does. I think how you think about the game affects how you play.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So the fact that I can totally buy into the fact that Eichel would think or consider these kinds of things just based off of his play. And then team players always do better, especially in team sports. It's just fact. You can't go out there. Like, this isn't the NBA where you can have a LeBron and just win every game. Like, it's not like that. You can have the best player in the game and not make the playoffs constantly if you don't put anything else around them and he doesn't lead. He's not going to, like, Eichel does not seem like a leader. And you know what? I think there was more justification for letting go of this GM than there was the coach, because you brought this, these are the guys that you brought in to groom your young franchise player. Vander Kane, Ryan O'Reilly, you give up a first to get Robin Leonard. Like, I can build a case for the GM. I can't, like, for the coach, it's kind of like, yeah, what do you expect the Sabres were going to do this year? Not a good team. But,
well, no, I think the Leafs making the playoffs kind of made that a little easier, because, you know, you look and, well, the Leafs started a year after and they're already there.
Yeah, but they I think that had better players.
But they had a non-zero, and that's the thing, right? Like, they built a better roster, and Sabres fans sure were excited, but a lot of that isn't amounting to a whole heck of a lot.
Would you, like, here's the thing, like, this is, like, would you rather, I don't know the young guys on, like, other than Eichel, is there any, like, what's the Reinhardt kid, right? Is he amounted to anything?
No.
So, like, because, like, so you replace him with a Marner or a Nylander, like, someone who's drafted higher, but taken a little bit of time to develop, but now all of a sudden there with Eichel, like, this is some Toronto bias, but Austin Matthews sure looks a little better than Eichel right now. Like,
let's say you take Austin Matthews and put him on this Sabres roster. That team's not making the playoffs either.
No, because their goalie's terrible. Like, that's, you can't. Well,
and their defense is miserable. Like,
yeah,
they've tried to bring in pieces, but, like, what they have on that back end. Zach Bogosian, nothing to get excited about. Rasmus Ristolainen, he's a 22-year-old defenseman who they need to continue to be better. And, like, other than that, there's nothing there to say anything about. So if they can bring in some defense, that could be a big thing for that. We saw, you know, Edmonton went and made the big Adam Larson, Taylor Hall trade. They overpaid for defense. And I'm not saying that made the playoffs for them, but they are in the playoffs.
Yeah. Man, Shattenkirk's going to get paid.
Shattenkirk is going to get paid.
Yeah, that's going to, like,
after having his ice time has been slashed considerably all series.
Yeah. Well,
and we've seen some weird ice time stats out there. So that's a,
well, actually, you know what? Maybe he won't get paid, because you know who's not missing Shattenkirk?
The Blues, yeah.
Yeah, like, I know we both railed on hard, like, why would a playoff team trade a guy like Shattenkirk? Maybe Shattenkirk's not quite as good as that, but, yeah, I don't know. Eichel doesn't seem, it's not the guy I would want leading my team. Like, this guy's not going to be a Saber for life. Like, I think that's very clear. He's,
yeah, absolutely.
He's going to get traded, or he's going to leave in free agency, and it's going to be, I'll toss one of our friends a bone on this one. Tampa Joe offer sheet on Jack Eichel. Huh?
Oh,
Huh?
This could be the, what was the last, well, Ryan O'Reilly, another Sabre. Again, if you're surrounding guys, people, Ryan O'Reilly loves them some offer sheets.
Ryan O'Reilly, Shea Weber.
I think Shea Weber was the one before that. And then who was it? Was it just all the way back to Dustin Penner?
I don't know. When was Kessler's?
Did he sign one?
I don't know. Did he ever? I don't know if he ever actually signed one or if there was just threatening of signing one. I don't know.
Anyways, they're rare. I always wish there was an offer sheet, but I could see Jack Eichel doing that, especially if they're still, like, if they still finish where they did last year. He's going to be pretty upset.
Flyers signed Kessler to a one-year offer sheet. Like, pretty much a guarantee to get.
Yeah, that's like, matched. Please match this.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. What else is there?
The Calgary Flames.
Oh, yeah. They lost bad.
And not only did they lose, you know, they also... of the sweep. After their series was finished, they got some additional bad news. They are being sued, as well as Dennis Weidman, by Don Henderson, the official that Mr. Weidman checked last year, being sued for $10.25 million.
Oh. That's a lot of money. That's not good.
I think we all saw some sort of, you know, personal lawsuit coming from this, right? I don't think we all saw a number as big as 10 million coming.
Yeah. That's, do you think he's going to get anything?
I think he'll get something for sure.
I don't know anything about this, is because like, this isn't like Department of Player Safety. Do you think he's going to get us fine or not? This is like real world.
Like, this is a court with a lawyer.
And like judges and not Gary Bettman. Like, this is like actual people who are, I don't know, I guess people debate whether judges are smart or not. I don't know. They certainly know a lot more
about the law than we do.
Yeah. So like, I have no idea like what's going to happen. But it doesn't look good though. And the other thing is, it was really bad. Like, I imagine in most real world, like, scenarios like this where, like, someone injures somebody or like, attacks someone, I doubt there's high-definition video of it.
Right.
Where there is of this.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt. Like, and here's the thing. Like, so here's... So instead of Gary Bettman, you now have... What? I don't know how big juries are. 10 people? 10 peers that are making the decision.
I don't know. And again, not a lawyer. I don't think this one goes to a jury. I think it's just a judge.
It's just a judge? I don't get how this stuff works. I watch too much TV. Just everything. There's always a jury.
Right. Every trial has a jury. Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Joel gets a speeding ticket and there's a jury of his peers. Did I speed? Did I not? You tell me.
I feel like 10 million, like that, if you're coming in that, like, that's got to be, there's got to be more people involved, don't you think? I don't know. We need a lawyer. There's no way we have a lawyer listener.
Have had some lawyers chime in the past. So if you are a lawyer, feel free. Let us know. However, here's what he's seeking. So he is seeking $200,000 of general damages.
Okay.
$50,000 of hospital expenses.
Okay. So wasn't,
and that's general things. So it says housekeeping, yard work, and hospital expenses. So just he hasn't been able to do things, and that's the case. And then $10 million for loss of income and loss of future earning abilities. Which I did not know NHL officials made $10 million over the lifetime of their career.
Is that true though?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I tried to find out how much an NHL official would make.
See, and that's where the, like, I don't, like, all circumstantial stuff. Like, he's like, well, you didn't know if I was going to, like, become, like, I have this great idea to do this great thing, and now I can't because, like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They, you know, generally, they don't publish them, but like $150,000, $200,000 for a ref. So $10 million means that you have worked. What's 200 divided by, or 10 million divided by 200? It's a lot. It's like 50 years.
Yeah, but
I don't think this guy's going to work for 50 years.
Probably not. He's probably like, aren't NHL refs like on the older side anyways?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how old this guy is. Again, we can look that up. But nonetheless, he'll get something out of it. Another reason why is, the province of Alberta is also listed as one of the people seeking repayment as part of this. So
interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, Dennis Weidman. Not super happy.
No.
Probably regrets running that ref.
We missed a couple good offer sheets.
Okay, hit me.
Thomas Vanek.
Oh, yeah.
Jalmerson.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay, so two.
Two. When I said a couple.
Yeah, you were right. I don't know why I was expecting more.
I was like, I don't know. I feel like I didn't live up to what you were expecting. I was like, I only said I was going to set a couple, and I gave you a couple.
Yeah, thank you.
But that was, that's all. That was everyone's basically been matched. There's none that have been unmatched. At least of the most recent ones. I don't know. There's probably some unmatched ones earlier on, but. That Ryan Kessler one was only $1.9 million. Yeah, that got matched real quick.
Just a side note, Bruins win.
Oh, the series not over. You get to watch Sunday afternoon hockey, people.
There you go.
I will not be watching.
No. You get to work all weekend.
Woo!
Well, Joel, thank you for making your way after the Leafs game tonight. It's been a fun show, a stressful evening for myself personally, and I know for you.
Has it been stressful? Like, I feel like, because like, well, you're adamant.
Stressful. It was just angry.
Angry. Yeah. Like, so this is not helping your defense against like. The Caps not being your team.
Yeah.
I was on the fence a little, like last week when you reacted to the Detroit Red Wings winning the lottery. That was a pure Colorado Avalanche emotion.
Right. No Washington Capitals fans getting that fired up about the Wings getting first.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, maybe some water on that fire of Caps being Carl's favorite team. And then now, like, so although I don't know, we haven't actually been in the same room, but I would imagine this series is stressing me out more than you. If
not even close. I wouldn't say that this is stressing. Like, literally, I was upset today, but I wasn't stressed.
I 3 hours of agony every game. Agony and joy and pain. And
here's an example. What last Sunday, the what was it? That would have been game three, Kapanen's overtime winner.
Yeah.
I was at the in-laws' place, which they live about an hour and a half away over there for some Eastern dinner. I left before the end of the game.
Yeah, but you probably didn't. You have to leave.
No. I said, like, we can leave. I said, you know, we can either leave right now or we can leave. If this intermission ends and the game started, I don't want to leave. So we can leave right now and I can listen to the radio. Turns out the Flames game was on, so I didn't get to listen to it anyways, but.
Right.
If that was the Avs, probably not leaving. I'm not leaving an Avs overtime game. I don't care what it takes.
Yeah, this has been, it's been a ton of fun. And like, I think I'm at the point of the series that I'm just happy to be here.
And I'm glad that you're at that point. Like, I don't want unhappiness for you. And the fact that like, if the Leafs lose on Sunday, game six is Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday in Toronto.
If the Leafs lose Sunday, I know that you'll be disappointed. You want them to win, but like crushed? No, you won't be crushed.
Yeah. Let's have this conversation next year though. Cause it might be a little different at this point next year.
Well,
cause onward and upward.
There you go.
Leafs will win a Stanley Cup in the next 3 years.
This year, buds all day. Next year, buds all year.
Ooh, there you go. I've been enjoying it. It's been fun to like watch meaningful playoff hockey. Cause like, and this is no surprise. Like I'll have games on. I'll pay attention to the playoffs, but I will not care at all. Like as soon as the Leafs are out of it,
the emotion is gone out of it.
Like I will not do what you've done, and at least found a second team that there's like, yeah, this is really exciting. It's like, no, that's like I know I joked about that, but it won't happen. I will not care. I will be like, that team. I'll cheer against teams that I just don't like the Canadiens, the Oilers, Bruins, Senators. Like I'll be like, yeah, those teams lose, but even if they win, I won't be like, I'll just be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. It'll be okay. I want to see. I'd like a good finals. That's what I want. That's what I'll be cheering for. Is a good finals at this point.
I like it. Well, Joel, tune in next week for more talk. We'll be starting the second round by next week. It looks like. Don't have the official schedule, but it should. If game sixes are on Sunday, you would hope that the second round starts before our show next Saturday. So, stay tuned. Watch hockey. Stay tuned on Twitter at Fourth Line Podcast, Facebook.com/Fourth Line Podcast. TheFourthLinePodcast.com and the all new Patreon.com/FourthLinePodcast. You can also find us Last Word on Sports, Nuts and Bolts Sports, and everywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys for tuning in. Joel, thank you for a fun show. Thank you for keeping me company, putting me on the ledge and pulling me back from the ledge throughout the Leafs game. And it's been a fun evening.
Yeah. Patron City.